burn it, you know, during a war, they go and steal money and bread, bring it back to the community to eat. But their intent is not to steal. It doesn't harm people. It is this world. It is not the object. It is not the object. It is not the action. It is the intent. It's very important to know. So on an absolute level, people like Mahasiddhas, and I'm giving you an idea, they do everything opposite of conventions. Not because they're there to break conventions or flout them. It's that we are not operating on an absolute level. We are the ones who are wrong and not right. We are the ones who don't do things correctly. So to us, they look wrong. Why? There are very few people who operate on an absolute. Hidoka Vajrasattva by Lama Yeshe. By the way, all of Lama Yeshe's books are in transcript form. It's the way he talks. And they're lightly edited by Nick Rivers for the last 30 years. All. Now, it says here, I was reading through it. Now, some of you might be wondering, what does this have to do with Dharma protective practice? Oh, my. The way that Dharma protective can help you is by samaya alone. If you break your samaya, the Dharma protector will be 100% ineffective for you. For your business, for your family, for protection, for your attainments, for retreat, for money, anything you want will be ineffective. You can do all the black seas you want. You can take the statue and drown in the black sea, nothing more. It is totally on your commitments. So don't run around and steal from people and they go do your Dharma. Very little. Don't sleep by Dharma teachings and then nothing goes in, you don't understand anything, you do Dharma protective practice. It's just a game. Don't have fights with your lover and your boyfriend and your girlfriend and just fight and fight incessantly and then you do Dharma teaching. Do you know why? Very little. You may be pouring an ocean of black tea, but it becomes like one or two drops. Why? You're hypocritical. You're a hypocrite. You're an absolute hypocrite. Why? You're not even helping all sentient beings. And you don't think about all sentient beings. And if you don't think about all sentient beings, how can you check that? Because you can't even think about one or two beings around you. How? I'm not saying this to criticize any of you. You see, some of you have been with me for many years. Some of you have been with me for many lifetimes. Some of you have been with me for a few years, for many lifetimes. So when I teach you these things, is in hopes of helping, assisting, and knowledgeable. So if you have the merits to be here, it is 100% merits. If after today's teaching you go and you keep doing what you're doing, I did my job. Because I was advised by my protector in the hall to advise. He was a witness. Many times the Dharma protector me. Advise your students, advise. Many times. Advise. I advise until I cough blood. So, isn't that horrible? I'm incessantly looking for the page. You guys hate it. But I knew you guys all have phobias. I'm always going to look for a page. It's okay. I don't even want it. No, because I wrote a notation on my own. That would be beautiful. Okay. Page 176. Hidoka Vajrasattva practice. Even in a Theravada Vinaya. This is not even Tantrayana Mahayana. This is in a Theravada countries, okay? Lama Yeshe says. Even in a Theravada Vinaya, it is explained that whether or not a monk or a nun has broken a vow depends primarily on the mind, not on the object or the external action. All four components of the action, motivation, object, action, and completion, must be present for breaking the vows to be complete. The key component is the motivation, how much you are grasping. Listen carefully. The key component is the motivation. How much you are grasping. Okay. This is Lama Yeshe, right? This is not 10 stupid Rinpoche. Lama Yeshe is a master, a real Gelugpa master, a real one. How much you grasp? What is grasping? Me. People who are not aware, they're the sign of self-grasping person. They always make mistakes, they lose things, they forget things, they make you repeat things, they make you say things over, they burden you, they make problems. When you live with them, they burden you. What is that? Self-grasping mind is so strong. It is so strong. And the people who know things very well, you know, they're very quick, they're very sharp. But they don't share. And they don't give. And they don't let go. It's equal to the other person. You may be very sharp and your partner is very stupid. But if you put your partner down because they're stupid and you're sharp and it comes from a self-mastery mind, you go to hell, not them. Going to hell, or living in hell, or being in hell, or the three lower realms, is totally from grasping, not the action. So as I said, a nun, a monk can have sex, can steal, can run around and do all the things you think that a monk can't do, and not break the vows, is dependent on the motivation. But that's not to say our action is not important. It is important. But I'm telling you on an absolute level. And what makes you break the vow is grasping. From grasping arises a four motivation. Intent, motivation, action, object, and completion. Very simple. So when Mukbo, or Chikin Chungba, drinks sake all day, is he drinking sake from self-grasping mind? You don't simply say, oh, he's drinking sake for the benefit of all beings, maybe he's collecting the bad karma for the students, and blah, blah, blah. Maybe he has wind energy, and then he can purify. No. It's not that. That is a very small part. What it is Mukbo, Chikin Chungba, in this case, you know, Chujang Dojichang, Kevin Song Dojichang, it's holiness. His own schedule link on his heart. These masters, it's not what they do, and that they can control their winds, or Jigun Gyan Rinpoche, it's not that. What it is, they exist on an absolute level. The self-grasping mind has been erected. So therefore, whatever they do is just doing. There's no good or bad, it's just doing. It's like a theatrical play. You know, when we make a movie, it looks very real. The people get killed, blood, gore, their head gets cut off, men make money, they lose money, and you know, in the movie, actually when we watch good movies, we cry. And then when you cut lights on, everybody's like, oh, the actors go back, they're bitchy, they're whatever, you know, but 1 minute, this woman's like, oh, poor them, they got run over by a truck, and you know, poor them, and you're crying, but then, when they cut the lights and cut the action, the woman gets up close to her room, she may be really bitchy. But when you watch the movie, you're so into it, and you're so attached, and you actually cry. And we idolize all this. We idolize people who can bring these emotions to us. Why? Because we can relate to that. How can we relate? Self-grasping. Similarly, when we're on this level, we're just like someone watching a movie. It's very real. Very, very real. Well, totally. So when we cry, or when we laugh, it's grasping. Why? When we regret, it's grasping. Even when we regret the wrong way, it's grasping. Do you know why? You're afraid for yourself. Not for the harm you did. You're afraid for yourself. Even regret and doing actions to purify what you've done wrong is not destroying self-grasping. Do you know why? It's only the lowest scope of practice. Fear for yourself. So when we regret what we did to our boyfriend and girlfriend and husbands and wives and children, maybe we didn't take care of our children, they grew up to be monsters, maybe we didn't take care of our parents and, you know, we're monsters. It could be anything. When we regret and we cry and we want to do something about it and we're scared, it is still negative action. I'll tell you why. Because you're scared for yourself. It's not good. anyone is for yourself. It's you. And that's what Tantra explains to us. The real Yamantaka, the real Vajradhini, is on an absolute level. No form, no taste, no touch, no sound, no tangibility, yet existence. From non-grasping, Dhammakaya, Chikhu. People don't understand that. So as long as we keep regretting, crying for the things we did wrong, it's self-grasping. Happy about the good things we do, it's self-grasping. Why are we happy? Oh, I did a good thing, I'm going to be okay my next time. I'm going to be alright. I'm going to be fine. Me. Again. You see, when we do Dhamma action, we rejoice. It's not rejoicing about you having a good life. It's rejoicing that you can bring all sentient beings closer to out of grasping. So when we break our vows, and when we keep our vows, either way, with the wrong motivation, we can leave for grasping. And that's a secret. Because some people are very high and mighty. I don't do anything bad. They're already bad. The minute they say that, the minute they think that, they're already bad. Like I told you about that lady earlier in the Dharma talk, she goes everywhere. She knows everything. She does everything right. But you know what? During a Dharma talk, Mamie told me, it was so funny. Mamie's a very dramatic person. I talked to Mamie the other day for 2 hours. A brand new Dharma student came for teaching. This lady was there, and she had a beautiful, everybody had these cheapskate little bead mandalas, you know, but she was rich. In America 20 years ago. She had a silver mandala, not 3 layers, 4. And she had all these jewels and all this stuff. She was like, wow. And she did it perfectly, the mandala. Perfectly. We're all like, oh, me. I was thinking, not that I was thinking, wow, mandala did to me. Thinking, in my grasping mind, I think I can make more merit than her. And she doesn't need more merit. She's rich. I was thinking about that. Oh, rich. Rich. I found out another information. They is a signature to a big, whatever, but never mind, we'll talk about that another day. He's rich, too, in theory. And why do I mean that, in theory? I wouldn't rest on that one. That's why I'm friends with Max Man, waiting for an uncle to pop off. And then, I don't want to go closer to home, because it's very rude and abusive, and you know, I might be recorded and just say, look, 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 a family breaker. But, in theory, David's rich. That's the way, you listen to him when he says the CH, you know, lunch. Rich. He emphasizes, especially when he says, rich. You know, if I was you, I would sit in the back. It would be less disruptive to the planet because, you know, you're cold, you move this way, and Andy, and you're rubbing his knee, Ashi, there's issues here, you know. I would sit in the back so you have more compassion. I have quite a lot of loss. Oh, then you don't fold your hands, leave by folding hands of the planet around you. Anyways, she turned around. Oh, yeah. So David and then this lady, alright, seriously. David, there's a simultaneous story along with Dharma. So we're weaving 3 stories into one and I'll weave that back into Dharma Pala. Isn't that fabulous? It's fabulous. Why? Don't make borders on your mind. Your mind is like space, Chandigarh says. When I heard that, my memory became fabulous. I don't know why. All of a sudden I realized there's no borders to my mind. Okay, anyway. David is rich. But it's a label, it's a name. It's protection. Because if the supporting factors for there are not there, it's only a theory. But he's been warned. And next time you guys listen to say the word rich and lunch, you listen, he accentuates the last sound very much. You just listen to say rich or lunch. No, okay. Henry, you're evil. You're trying not to laugh. You're so good, you know, you even respect a little pipsqueak like that. Tiki Bara. He's just a little pipsqueak anyway. And he's like, Henry's wonderful. He's quite handsome. So you can see everything on his face. Demo macho, so he's so politically correct. Look, he bought one of those for the Pakistanis. She paid Janji's number, Simba Ravesha. See, the Bodhisattva man. In Japan, I bought one almost every day and I wore it everywhere. You know why I want to talk about how politically correct that was? Another action that brought me to the big old what happens with this is, but then if you keep it, you show people it's good too. What's your motivation, not action? Isn't that what I talk about? Not action, not after motivation. See, I'm actually, I say I'm slightly hypocritical, not fully. Anyways, we talked about lunch and David and Rich. Okay, that's not okay. I wish your name was like Rich, like Richie Rich, or, you know, like Aldrich. Hi, what's your name? Aldrich. And I'm Rich. Oh, you love that. And you want to have lunch with me? What was your name? Aldrich. What do we want to do? Lunch. Why? Because I'm rich. No, I'm beautiful. Oh, yeah. All right, now. You know what? Paul's not laughing, not moving, not sad, not happy. Paul is just doing meditation on his eyelid. He's good. I'm telling you, he's controlling his eyesight. Not even one eyelash is closing. He doesn't blink anymore since I clap his eye. He hasn't blinked once, so I've been watching him. He blinked, alright. When I said that, he went like this. Evil. I love it. Anyways, hi Daddy, how are you? This is my Daddy. Anyways. This new Dharma student came along to the new course, you know, all blah, 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 blah. You know, Dharma students are wonderful, they're fabulous, they're beautiful, they're compassionate, they're kind, they're bodhicitta, they're in Buddhism, it's sovereignty, and it's a great initiation, we're offering mandala. And this lady was behind asking questions, what's fabulous, it's mandala, blah, 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 blah. Lord, this lady was sitting there with her mandala, right? And she was doing it and all that stuff. And then, you know what? In the middle of the mandala, she got flustered and she was upset. After, I don't know, 15 years of practice, she turned around to the lady. She put her mandala down, she turned around to the lady and went like this. The lady never came back again. That's all it took. Because it was not only subtly hypocritical. That's all she did. She didn't say anything. She just went, and she looked at her in the eye, she turned around and looked at her squarely, and she just went, the lady never ever came back. That one action threw her off the Dhamma. You think it's her bad karma? Yeah, it's her bad karma, but you don't have to add to it. You know, someone's sitting there, you know, they're on a beam. You know, there's one mountain, there's one ledge here, one ledge here, and there's one beam here. And they're standing there, and they're juggling. You don't, hey, catch! You don't do that one. They fall off completely. Oh, yes. That one action. They never came back. And that action didn't help. Do you know why? It came out of a self-grasping mind. Because it didn't help that lady. Because some of us even do that, and the other person doesn't get affected. You know why some people can do it, they get affected, and some people can't? Because they're habituation of self-grasping. Oh, yes. Does everybody understand that? That's all. I mean, you know, don't think the politics just go on here because, you know, we're a bunch of political people. No, every Dharma center, every place, every church, every synagogue, every mosque, every community, every family, everywhere. Even you yourself have politics. You know, you yourself make politics. I can't do this, I can't do this. You know, you protest with yourself. So I better, like, you know, because, you know, if we pray to the Buddha, we're against the dead. Well, I don't know. Nothing on this planet can ever hurt his own Dalai Lama. I'll give you one reason. You don't believe he's the Bodhisattva? Never mind. He's a monk. Nothing to harm a monk. That's all. Let's not even talk higher level. He's a monk. And he's a real monk. Second, nothing can bring Tibet back or make Tibet lose its own karma. That's it. We can do all the prayers throughout the Tibet. Nothing will happen. So, there's nothing I can do against Tibet. There's nothing I can do for Tibet. I can only wish. And there's nothing I can do to harm the soul of the Dalai Lama, nothing. Even if I want to, nothing. How can I harm a holy monk? Where there is no harm, you can't harm them. You know, if I want to go and beat up the Buddha, you think I can? He doesn't have the karma to be beaten up. So I want to give this message to the assassins and all these people who carry guns to the Kala Chakra. Yeah, his holiness caught people with guns in the Kala Chakra. Forget it. It's not going to work. You don't have karma to be shot, you won't be shot. Things like that, not this recent one. Don't get all excited. Dashi's like, and an angel's like, oh. Not the recent one. Don't get when I talk about self-grasping and all this, everybody's like, oh. let's get to the real issue here. Dalai Lama cannot be harmed. Yeah, don't give up. Never mind. You can put a torpedo on him. Nothing happened. You know, like, nothing. Nothing. Because that happened in Tibet. When they threw bombs, they shelled Ganden. Sonji sat there in meditation and did puja to Dorje Shugden. And so the monks all escaped out of Ganden. You can read his biography. It's all over. All three walls fell. The wall behind him stood. Everything fell. And he did Dorje Shugden puja. Until the monks were safely out of London Monastery. And the fumes from the shells, the toxic fumes, Rinpoche breathed in, he accepted it, and his voice became hoarse, and his voice has been hoarse his whole life, although it's still beautiful. I didn't even know it was hoarse, but it's definitely hoarse. He breathed in the fumes. But Khyentse Sarnam single-handedly stayed in London and did their repulsion puja of Dorje Shugden to hold back harm until the monks missed. That is well documented. He accepted the harm. He accepted everything. With his tantric powers. Oh yes, you can read in biography. The great dimension there, incarnation of Dimension there. I'm sorry, great dimension there. Just in Losan Sunju, his holy monk name, his holiness catch it, just in Losan Sunju, catch Sarnji. And it's incredible, because you know where Sarnji is? Wherever his incarnations are lie, there's a lake near his, where his home, original incarnation is in Kham, Yara, Kham, Namsang, in Tibet. Wherever his incarnations are lie, the lake will be full. When the incarnations pass, the lake will be full. Every incarnation. Some lamas, trees will blossom. Bodhi trees, wherever the lama is, the Bodhi tree will just grow and blossom. Some lamas, you hear beings, you hear sounds. So wherever there's a real lama, they have real intention, and their reincarnation is there. Some sign of their reincarnation will be around all the time. Trees, very common, I don't know why. Bodhi tree will appear. Very, very common. Where the lama is, naturally, Bodhi tree will grow on its own. Always. That's very well documented. Even lamas on Baba's case. But it was a white sandalwood, Bodhi tree. See, what I do is wherever I go, I just get a little Bodhi tree planted. See, I am a lama. See, it grew, but nobody knows it. I go out there every night, eat it, you know, put manure, I pee on it myself. I do all kinds of things like a cat, I pee on it, you know. Just the right amount, too much. Then it grows big, and you know, I document and I tell people, see, I'm a lama, and I even give them leaves. Here's the Bodhi tree from San Francisco. I love it. Leaves from San Francisco because, you know, and little did they know, God, it was a lot of work making that tree grow. Weeding it, manuring it, and flowering it. Oh my God, every night I'm talking to it. You know, they say when you talk to plants, it grows. Please grow. So if you don't grow, I'm finished. And if I'm finished, I move out here, you're dead, because the next people won't like Bodhi trees, you know, they like banana trees here. So you better grow. Sometimes you threaten them, but with love, because we show a lot of love, they grow. You can ask the rainbow girl, Tashi, you know, she talks to everything, except enemy. But anyway, that's why I'm going to give leads to people who love it. It's proof that I'm a lima. I have a lima. Or you can call it the other way, a smama. The lama, smama, a smula. A smulu. Anyways, go back. Mumu, go back. Mumu, bad boy. Go back. Mumu, stay. Mumu, no stay. Mumu, bad boy. Zanka, go back. Go back. Zanka, bad boy. So, what happens? He's on an absolute level. No karma is to be made. On a relative level, plenty to purify. But even when we purify, are we really purifying because of our attitude? And are we really changing our attitude because of our habituation? So every time, so this habituation is measured or help kept in check for ourselves. From an absolute level to a relative level, it manifests in vows. Vows are a manifestation of the absolute. Let me explain why. It's a manifestation of the absolute because These are things universally on the three realms that if we do, it helps the self-grasping mind to increase. If we don't do, it makes the self-grasping mind decrease. Mind, thought, self. Decrease and increase. So it's absolutely why these rules are applicable anywhere, any planet, any universe. So that's why it's absolute. Absolute means kava, all pervading. Operating. So that's why it's absolute. There is no maybe. The word absolute means that's it. No ands, ifs, and buts. So the vows are a manifestation or a taste of the absolute. And when we hold our vows and commitments and samaya, we get a taste of the absolute because we hold our vows, listen carefully, we hold our vows in order that we don't have to have to hold our vows. Isn't that fabulous? Rinpoche was coming up with these lines, the one-liners that are opposite of each, totally contradictory, yet totally meaningful. And he's dying to go back there and write that down and email everybody an SMS and say, you're fabulous, give me another praise. I get all these SMS and I'm fabulous, I come from a lotus. I got, according to him, I got lotus growing out of my ass. I'm so holy and pure. I fart, it's a lotus. I don't shit manure or shit, I shit lotuses. According to him, he has this view about me. But anyway, Mabel, of course, oh my goodness. You ask her, is Rinpoche a Buddha? He's not a Buddha, he's 10 Buddhas. About how he stands around it. Yeah, Casey, he's not a Buddha, he's Buddha's guru. I'm a what? Shakyamuni Smuru, you know. He's Shakyamuni Smuru, you know. Even higher than Shakyamuni Gaudapa. You want to go higher? Shakyamuni Smuru Smuru. Yes, angel? Definitely Rinpoche Baka Yama. Yama Smaka. Yama Yogini. Yeah, anyway, he's Buddha. Definitely. And Dashi, I believe that Rinpoche is not Tsongkhapa at all. He is Guru Rinpoche. Nimala. And he asks Mr. Kong, is Rinpoche a Buddha? He doesn't talk. You know why? Because he's very compassionate. If you're compassionate, he's actually, what he's doing is calculating how much he can make in his business. You know, it looks like natural. Yeah. Pretty absolute. And then Chan, you gotta wake him up first. And then Paul wakes up. Is he a Buddha? Yeah. Can I go back to sleep yet? And while I read, of course, if she's allowed in my house into the Ladrang and she can prostrate to Jenny, I'm a Buddha. If she's not, I'm not a Buddha. Nah. Because, you know, she's absolute, I'm relative. Not related, but just a relative. You're not a relative, but relative. You know, let's not get mixed up here. No, I'm not related to Irene. Thank you very much. Let's run around.
My previous life and religious life are related.
Previous life, darling. Previous life, not this life. I mean, if last life, you know, Jenny Wong and JT here were lovers, doesn't mean they're lovers in this life, was. Exactly. In last life, David Lai was some kind of monk that hang around, you know, and held his vows a little bit and studied but didn't do any meditation doesn't mean this life he is, right? No, it doesn't. So, vows are a taste of the absolute and it leads you to the absolute. And it is manifested in the absolute. What is the absolute? I don't like to use big New Age words here. The absolute is the workings of cause and effect in the universe. That is dependent on self-grasping and how much. How much the self-grasping mind is existent within us and not pure mind creates the workings of cause and effect in the universe for us and then interrelated. As we're interconnected on the third watch of the night, Lord Buddha realized, our second watch of the light, Lord Buddha realized, are interconnected. So you guys all know that from the previous teaching. See, when we listen to Dhamma talks, we can listen to more Dhamma talks. And then, on the absolute level, how much self-grasping is how much negative karma can create, even when we do nothing. And you think, oh my God, why is it so severe? It's not severe. Buddha didn't make these rules up. Buddha perceived these rules through his enlightenment. On the last watch of his life, and explained. Isn't that incredible? So the vows are a glimpse of the absolute. You take vows in order that you don't have to hold vows anymore. Why? When you hold your vows so well, you become absolute. So everything is just a show for people, a manifestation for them. And whether they can see the show or not, if they bought the ticket, that's a level. Oh yeah, some people don't buy the ticket. The ticket of the six paramitas. Ticket of guru devotion. The ticket of practice. Some people don't even buy the ticket. Some people buy the ticket and fall asleep at the theater. Some people lose their ticket. Some people arrive at the ticket late. Some people go to the show and they look at it, they don't understand what's going on. Well, only if it's met a butterfly, somebody will understand that. Oh yeah, isn't that incredible? So when we talk about esoteric practices, the absolute, very few people will attend. Very few people can attend. Very few people will make it. And the few people who make it, very few will understand. And very few who did that will be able to practice. And that is the rarity of enlightenment in the Buddha. And that's why we so revere the Buddha. So when we look back in our lives now, how much have we actually practiced? Don't look at the retreats of them. Don't look at the mantras you've done in whatever you've given the money or that, don't look at that. Look at how much your self-grasping mind has released. Very simple. So, I'm not telling you something to criticize you, I'm telling you the truth. I'm not telling something for you to feel bad and guilty about, I'm telling you real practice. I'm not telling you anything that is to hurt you, but it is to help. Because somebody has to be in your firing line. Somebody has to put themselves in your firing line and tell you there's something more. That actually we're not very good people. I've got to be the Jesus Christ of Buddhism here. You know, right? Get the cross out, I'll carry it across. Father Gautama, you can pin me up and wander Gautama near the gym. Make sure my love handles are gone. Who's love? Jesus Christ of Buddha. And then, just before I pop off, oh, absolutely forgive them, they don't know what they're doing. Isn't that fabulous? I love it. Everything's got to be dramatic with me, I don't know. I'm a reincarnation of the Tibetan Kabuki actor or something like that. That's what I feel. Tibetan Kabuki. I used to pummel. Pummel is Tibetan battle show. So I think I'm one of those guys who wear those masks. Mahatma mask comes out with a knife and I chop all of it and stuff by accident. It's a poor thing. It's win win off. But in Tibet, you don't die when you win off. They just forgive you. Then I do Vajrasattva retreat with bad motivation, right? Isn't that fabulous? Pamotuku. Any questions on the absolute? No, I absolutely not. Joseph, any questions on the absolute? You like in-depth teaching? You do? You're educated. You can think deep. You, Mr. Kong, think you, Paul, how tall, it is a Mandarin idea, you say, who is me? When Andy doesn't have a question, he needs to shut up. Rimichi did well. That's my relative level of examples that I check from the absolute. Konga is big. He just wonders if his hair looks good. He does. Henry, any questions? Oh, come, we've got to speak up. Make one up. Pretend you don't know something. Just pretend. For the sake of sentient beings, pretend you don't know. Sure, Smitchy.
Yeah. You were talking this time about the lady. Now, if her motivation was... Yeah, the action was wrong, but if she did not shut the speaker from behind, and... the speaker, the person behind will be complaining of him and will be distracting the whole time. So,
my
question was wrong, but
my point was this. Do it in a way that's very nice.
But we are talking about motivation.
We are, but is she so exact that she can just do anything she wants because her motivation is so pure? So my point. point is this, what you do doesn't matter. Some people shout and they people benefit, some people shout and they lose. Why? It's a situation of evaluation. They feel. So if you go to someone and you've been always been doing that for many lifetimes or many years, purely people feel. So what I'm saying is, yes, it is the motivation. But how long have you been practicing that motivation to activate that in such a useful? Understand? Very good question. Henry spoke up, let it be written in the Akashic sacred records, Henry spoke up during the Dhamma talk. First time in 6 years. Thank you, Henry. We want more. Yes, we want more. Any questions on absolute? Don't ask just to be smart.
No, but this is what I'll always ask myself. It's maybe very stupid.
Can you just ask me, let's make it quick without a lot of
explanation. So how does all the relative and the different notions, how did it all get started? Why did it all get activated? And the self and the notion of self.
That's a very good question. What it says in Buddha's teachings at our level is that there's no beginning but there's an end. Meaning that it is so distant and so far that we've been living like this, is that there's no beginning. So he's telling us like this, don't deal with that at this point. Deal with the fact that there is an end. That's what he's saying. Good question. But a lot of people can't accept that yet. Never mind. Questions? Very distant, very far. It's like, tell me the atoms that exist in the ocean. Do you think anybody on this planet can calculate? It's beyond mathematics. Tell me the amount of atoms that exist in all of the universes, and I'll tell you when your first thought is. Beyond comprehension. Beyond. Only a fully enlightened Buddha can talk to another fully enlightened Buddha and converse and understand. We're not at that level yet. That's a small mystery Buddhism. So if you want to talk about that, you have to have the mind to comprehend. If you want to talk about physics with me, you have to be a physics professor. Otherwise there's no level. No grounding. Questions? Alright. When you go upstairs to the second level, there's a gym room there, and inside is a toilet. You may use that. Don't look at the lights are red in my gym. The reason the lights are red is that I can't see myself well when I'm working out, so I have the illusion that I'm skinny. Well, it's true, you have David. He taught me work out many times. It's called the red room. Or the red light district. There's a toilet there you can use. And if you go straight to the back, in the drying area, be careful of the newspapers with all the gifts. There's another toilet. And then for some of us who are very devoted to the three jewels, body, speech, and mind, office and intense office. And for the rest of us, please not chitter and chatter. Stay quiet with yourself. Happy with quiet. You concentrate. Get a glass of water or whatever like that. There's no slaves in the house, so help yourself. One slave is doing a retreat. Another slave has never come out of the retreat. And then that's all the slaves I have. You see what I do? So I hire myself as a maid and I pay myself, but I pay myself American wages. Isn't that better? Fabulous. So let's all stand up, take a break, and I'll come back. I'm glad we're able to talk about the vows. Talk about the absolute and how they relate. Because the actual practice of the Dhammapada, the short sadhana and the retreat is very easy. But you see, to do it, you have to have that understanding. To not have understanding, just chant. Very little bit. Pento chi yunus. Very small. And I didn't get into it fully. I just told you a little part what I'm allowed to tell you. You know, the esoteric secret mantric teachings. Oh, this is a trick to get money. Don't you love it? Throw me an angpao, and I'll plant the seeds to get initiation in the future. Not this life, next life, whatever, but definitely. Just throw them on top. The thicker, the heavier, the harder it comes on my table, the stronger your influence. Don't you love that? And the David's like, how about if I throw a rock in on power? Doesn't count. If you weren't attached, if you don't have the self-grasp in mind, and you can visualize the rock is holding you, and you throw it on my table, it's not holding you, get initiation. See, not the rock, it's your self-grasp in mind. Some people can offer $1 million to the Lama, and gain very little attainments. Some people can simply hold their anger and not get angry, and not abuse people, or offer that to the Lama, and they'll gain attainments, and not create more obstacles to their practice. See, when people want to do Dharma work, they do work that is opposite, they create a lot of obstacles to their Dharma. A lot. Broken vows that create obstacles. And they say, well, I'm doing this for the Dharma, I'm doing this for this person, I'm doing this for that person, I'm doing this for this group. They are, and they're sincere. Everybody's sincere. Everybody likes to help, especially, you know, if we're nice people. But you can't fulfill your work because your broken samayas don't allow you to collect that much money. Because if you help, you don't be such a big hero of a knight in shiny armor. You know, if I make this amount of money, if I do this kind of writing, if I do this kind of, you know, assistant, if I'm assistant to Ruchi, I can collect all this merit. And then I can dedicate it to all sentient beings. And if I don't do it, it's the sentient beings who don't have the merit to receive it. Don't be so stupid. Don't be so stupid. Don't be so illiterate. That is incorrect. And if I debate with you, you'll lose immediately. But very simply to say, if you're doing Dharma work and whether being can receive it or not, it will mean you have some level of attainment. You're operating on some level from the absolute. If you're not operating from the absolute and you say that, you are presupposing and you're giving the message to other people that, oh, they don't have the karma to receive it, that's why I can't get it to give it to them. Oh, no, no, no. Then what about the Dalai Lama? Why does he even bother with the teachings? You think everybody who attends Kalachakra, 400,000 people, will practice and come with us? No. Far from it. In fact, there are people at Kalachakra in the back drinking tea and doing dancing. Grow up. Yeah, we see. And Bodhgaya, and attend there in back playing Mahjong. Yeah, Tibetan Mahjong. Oh! And this during the Kalachakra is holding us higher than the speed teaching. And they're sitting there gambling, playing, and dancing, taking a nap, you know. Because you know what? The screens and the microphones, everything, they just hear Teba, they get a blessing. That's what Tibetans believe. But that's ignorance. Remarit. Then you ask him, he knows. Tibetans aren't the holiest people on the earth, but they have holy people. So my point is this, that if we do Dharma work and we do anything with the intent of helping Dharma, you have to have merit yourself in order to have the merit to serve others so that you can create more merit and that they can create merit. If you don't even have merit to do that, how do you create the opportunity for other people to create new Dharma? You can't. Why? To serve Ganden Monastery. That's how I think. That's what the protectors told me in person. Oh, no, 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 it's not, I didn't channel and I talked to myself, oh, hello, hi, how are you, how are you, did you have a cup of coffee, Dia? No, I did not, I'm kind of thirsty. No, 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 not that. In a monastery with a proper oracle, he told me, do your retreats and do your sanghas. You did not. Out of the four classes of tantra, you should take one dharma yidam and practice that intently. By doing that, you will be able to serve God. I said, oh, I understood now. What is that? Hold my commitments. Doji Puntu, he said, the Vajra command of your guru. Doji Puntu, Puntu is the eternal knot. No end, no beginning. Doji is Vajra. Means the Lama's word has no beginning and no end. But if you make it an end, you lose. So what the protector told me, because I was overwhelmed with sadness, you know, I said that. I was trying to go to him and I was crying wolf and I was like, oh, poor me, I have so many sadhanas, I want to do other ones, can I go blah, blah. He told me, no. He told me himself, I am a Dharma protector, but I have no authority to override the command of your own. And he said, if you do your sadhana daily, your Dharma work will grow, you'll collect the merits, and you'll keep your samaya. You'll be a good example to many beings in the future. Do your sadhana. I went home. Went home to do my 50 hours of sadhana again. Well, yeah, that's after I tried to get out of it. And you know, I even used evidence. I found books in this commentary, that commentary. They said, if you combine all your yidams into one and do that sadhana, that means you do them all. Actually, I did research. I'm not kidding. And it was accurate. And you know, listen to this. I asked Lakhi Rinchi. He was so confounded. I did such
could be said he was so profound he couldn't say yes or no. Can you imagine that? Lucky Uchi. Little stupid pipsqueak kid with lucky, like a little mouse going to the line. And the lion's like, roar, and says, I'm not sure about that, so you better keep doing it, because I'm not sure. And I went to the other line, and the great thing he had found in Shao Shei, his whole is cancer issues. Cancer issues, like, that sounds very good. He could say yes, and then he said, but since I cannot say yes, now you have things to do yourself, I was like, oh. But they won't even try to humor me. They really said very good research, because I researched everywhere. You can combine all the meditational things, and it says that Yoshi Kelsen got this about you being commentary. It says that directly in English. It says that directly. And I found it. As I did all this research, I said, look. And then I went in with all this evidence, you know, because I'm Spanish. I went in with all this evidence to Latin and Gene, and he says very good. He says, but I can't say, you don't have to do it. And then I went to Cancer Gene. And he also said, okay, let me go to Manjushri Lab. So I went to Manjushri, which was really wrong, because they are Manjushri. And then I went to the protectors of Trent, and he told me, yeah, it's very good, but I cannot override the Bhaja command of Yavamas in a way. And he cut all my research away. Weeks of research, meditating, thinking how to formulate it. And yet then said, these are debate masters. So I went back and did my seminar. All 55 of them, all 100, whatever it is, I can't remember all the Yidams I have. Just too many. And I said to them, you know what? Some of these Yidams, I don't even know what they look like. There's 100 plus. Every day. Can you imagine doing 100 plus Yidams every single day? Because some schmuck or some Joe might come up and say, hey, you know, I do this practice. And even not doing it, you can't get it done. Oh, God. And sometimes at the end of your life, you think to yourself, nobody can even ask me for that practice. Why did I even do it? But on the absolute, it's different, isn't it? So anyway, in my own example, it was like that. And I'm still trying to figure a way out. Because I had one practice that's very long from the Dalai Lama. And I was thinking, actually I was thinking for a few months now. Home. Make a lot of offerings, five private holiness, you know, that thing, how that work. How long? Maybe get yourself in a really good mood, you know. And so, you know, how the Tibetan situation. And can I stop doing that sadhana? Sure. Fantasy, you know, fantasy. Make yourself into a nice cup of Tibetan tea, you know, and I don't know. Wear this shirt when I go see him. I don't know, you know, just as and just slip it in, you know. You can't stop it. Real sadhana. People are like, yeah, it's okay. And by the way, the Tibetan situation is like, you know, oh no, I can't. Trying to trick a Tongji Kenpa, an all-knowing one. Trying to trick a Bodhisattva. Here I am, just plotting how to get rid of this one sadhana that's very long. That I've been doing for the last 20 years. And I think, why don't I just let go of it and just do a lot? And I've been, you know, I learned speed reading so I can do it real quick. I do it real quick, real fast. It takes a monster hours to recite. I can do it really fast. I'm not kidding you. Speed reading. I'm like, they're like, you're done? I'm like, yeah. Anyway, that's true. So, when we do our sadhanas, it's on a very basic fundamental level. It's a reminder for us to keep our vows. Succession Guru Yoga, especially if we have tantric initiation. When we do our succession Guru Yoga, we're reminded of our vows. And when we keep our vows, and we hold that every single day, and we do nothing else, do you know how much merit we collect? Do you know why we collect so much merit? Because when we hold our vows, it takes us away from the self-grasping mind. When we take ourselves away from the self-grasping mind, that taking away collects oceans of merit. So holding vows, holding samaya and commitments, holding it and doing nothing else, and living in the vows, collect ocean of merit effortlessly. Why? Because that is one day you have restricted yourself from the self-grasping mind. And if you're not holding your vows perfectly, you slip. At least it's neutral. That day you don't collect negative emotions. That's why reading the vows is so important, following is so important, and practicing the vows with the very people who live with us is instrumental. Practicing the vows with the very people we live with every day is instrumental. Do you know why? It will show you whether you're really taking refuge or not.
if we hold our vows daily, we really are, not physically, effortlessly, then the people around us will enter the Dharma. So no point to wish to pray and want people to enter the Dharma. Even if, you know, there are closest people that live with us. They can live with us for 10, 15, 20 years. They will not go near the Dharma or practice. Why? We are that person who they are on a balancing beam. Like on a surface, they have a balancing rope. You know, they're holding it. And we just tip the scale the wrong way. We are like that. So we live in a family and we can't bring people to Dharma that reflects our own mind. Clearly, yes, there are circumstantial things such as their own karma, blah, blah, blah. But usually, let's put it this way. I know me. By hook or crook, somehow we get into Dharma in many ways. I'm not trying to show off to you. I'm trying to tell you that I put my energy towards that spot. I can yell at a person, they'll come to Dharma. I can slap a person, they'll go to Dharma deeply. I'll tell you why, because I'm a Mahasiddha normally. Because I put my energy toward that my whole life. I can collect merits by doing exercises upstairs. And when it gets hard, when the weights get very hard, or when I die guitar, I just think about how it and why I'm keeping myself here. Why? Immediately, my mind becomes strong. Am I trying to tell you that I'm some kind of Mahasiddha? No. I'm trying to tell you that I do my best to live down because there's nothing else to live for. Nothing else. I'm very suicidal. I would kill myself if it wasn't for Dharma. What else is there to do? Sit here and watch any figures? No, no, thank you.
No.
Watch I read, find different objects, you know, she's got five objects of refuge. Namo Guru Ve, Namo Buddha, Namo Dharma, Namo Sangha, Namo Janiya. So I don't have time to watch, you know, people look for extra objects of refuge. And of course, Jenny, being a wonderful bodhisattva she is, instead of standing there accepting it, Om Mani Padme Hum, she runs all over the place, you know. I don't know, I'm on a drag race.
So don't do anything that will bring you away from the absolute and closer to self-rescue mind, because the three lower realms is even the worst for tantric conditions. There's a special hell for them, it's called Dojitima, Vajra. Very scary. Samji described to us in detail. Very scary. And there are Yamataka practitioners who are born again in the form of Yamataka, that is spirits of medicine, tricking them and disturbing them, hurting them. This is all the song is told us. Imagine taking on the form of Yamataka where you're a spirit and you deceive people and you talk to them and you lead them wrongly, either through your negative, grasping mind. Imagine that. Think that he's a Buddha, yeah, but you're not. Very scary. So if we don't hold our vows and commitments, 50 verses of Guru devotion, of tantric and our bodhisattva vows, and we don't keep our basic commitments and basic promises, things that we want to achieve worldly and for Dharma, very difficult. If we want to achieve just for worldly, strictly for worldly, you will achieve it. I'll tell you why. Negative karma helps negative karma. Very simple. And you will never get anywhere with it. Never. Never. And if our lives, when we try to do things for Dharma, we fail or something doesn't happen, let me tell you something directly. It's a blessing. Because if you continue, it will be the three lower realms. It's a blessing. It's a wake-up call to the Dharma. It's a wake-up call from your protector who actually loves you. And that's why they protect you. Hold your commitments, hold your vows, hold your samayas. Read upon them. Learn about them. And don't be chauvinistic, and don't be boisterous, and don't be holier than thou about it. In your body, in your speech, in your mind, it can be observed when you're holding thoughts. Really? Start with the people that live right with you. Be aware. Be kind. Forgive. Accept. And don't demand. If we harm the people that are close to us and they stop practicing Dharma, in any way, we collect that call. We have a call. And if we want to do Dharma work, any time, big or small, obstacles will always come, or we won't be allowed to do it, or we can't do it, because of our obstacles coming back to us. So we want to do, if we feel we're very qualified, and most of us are, and we want to do, and we want to do Dharma work, and we're not doing it, and we can't do it, we're not allowed to do it, we have obstacles to do it, it's our broken gospel. And simply confessing them will not go away. Why? Confessing is recognizing them, but it affects us so that we're different. And for those of us who want to do big Dharma work, and we find obstacles in doing it, breaking commitments is a very big, big issue. So remember, it's not just Dharma commitment, it's also commitment to our family, to our parents, to our wives, to our husband. Those commitments we break, they're karmic too. You know why? It's not as strong as Dharma commitments, because Dharma commitments bend to all sentient beings. Commitments to our family members or people that are close to us are not as strong because it's in relation to one person, and hence, object, motivation, action, object, and completion, object. So we make a promise to our wife and we break the promise. It's very bad karma. It is. But it's not as bad as if we break it to our guru or to the Buddha's wife. Because it's to our wife, one. One is to all sentient beings. So the effect is very great. So every time we break our karma to our guru, break our commitment to our guru, you think, oh God, you know why? Yeah, but you see, you wanted the benefits. When you were in trouble, you wanted the guru. You wanted the practice. But when you're out of trouble, you don't want it. But you have to understand, trouble comes and goes. So you have to be careful. If you hold your vows, you have to be careful. Stinginess must be let go. Miserliness, attachment to money must be let go on a very fundamental basis. Must be. If we don't do anything about it, we hold on to it. We'll be free of us. Not joke. Anger. From projections and expectations of people around us, and how we expect them to be. Not anger from compassion, and none of us here is that qualified. Anger from expectation and projections will take us directly to Nara. The hell of unending pain. Directly. Or we'll be born in our next life with dark, ugly, unhappy complexion. Complexion doesn't mean skin or energy. And our appearance will be unhappy, displeasing, and we will have defects, and we will have short limbs, and we will have bodies that are not pleasing to others. Will be a direct result of anger. Correct. And for anger that's continuous at people who hurt them, whether it's manifested or not, will be born in war-torn areas, difficult to get food areas, difficult to live areas, places that doesn't support life, places that you are born as barbarians, or in forests, deep, again and again and again, will be the result of our anger that we do not control, that arise from expectations and projections, which arise from the self-grasping mind. It's horrible. Whether you express it or not, the anger is there. Living is already dangerous. Not living is already dangerous. These are killing myself so hard. You can't. You can kill your body, you can't kill yourself. Because killing yourself is a sign of the self. Killing yourself is a sign of attachment to the self. Very clear. And how do you kill the self? Yamataka can't kill yourself. He's so fierce with so many weapons, 34 weapons. Yamataka can't kill yourself. How can you? But he can show you the way. And hence all his weapons. This side is all weapons destroyed. Obstacles. This side is all weapons to increase and enhance practice. Oh, there's different meanings to it. Incredible. 16 to cut. 16 to increase. Lord Dhamma. Well, we can't talk about that too much because you're not initiated. Look. Where there's no Dharma, let there be the Dharma. Where there's Dharma, let it become strong. Where there's misunderstanding Dharma, let it become clear. Where there is no Dharma, let there be the Dharma. Where there is Dharma, let it become clear. Where there's a misunderstanding of Dharma, may it become understood. Again, where there is no Dharma, let there be the Dharma. Where there is Dharma, let it become stronger. Where there's a misunderstanding of Dharma, let it become clear. Where there is Dharma, where there is no Dharma, let it become Dharma. Where there is Dharma, let it become stronger. Where there's a misunderstanding of Dharma,
let it become understood and clear. 到时候你上一点我们第三个时候共同高中的结果结束过程中三零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零零